The grass is always greener over there. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The grass is always greener over there. Isn't that interesting how that seems to be the case all the time? That seems to be why circumstances are the way they are. The grass is always greener over there. Now, is that really true? Is the grass really greener over there? Is the grass really more wonderful over there? Well, this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with thought for today about grass is greener over there. Why do we say the grass is greener over there? Do we have a reason for saying that? Do we have any conviction in ourselves for saying that? Is there any sort of idea that tells us that that is so more than anything else it could be? Is that really where it is all at? Well, apparently for some people's attitude, that is where it is. They're always looking outside of themselves. They're always looking out there and seeing what looks more attractive, more interesting, and more exciting than what they're doing right here. We all have the opportunity of being alive. That's just the way we come into the world here. We come into the world alive, and sometimes we're screaming, and sometimes we're smiling, and sometimes we're laughing, and sometimes we're crying, but we come into this world awake, alert, alive. And as we come into this world, we have the feeling that everything is just fine. We don't know any different. We don't know any different. We had the warmth inside the womb there, and we were very comfortable. And then we came out into this cold world, and we thought, well, this is interesting. I like exciting new adventures. It's like diving into a cold swimming pool. I like these exciting adventures. And the grass is greener outside the womb than inside the womb. Well, you and I know very well that to stay inside that warm, cozy womb would be a wonderful place to be forever. But there's a lack of excitement there. There's happiness, continuity. There's all is in order. But sometimes when the holder of that womb gets excited about something or gets frightened about something or eats something that's not too good for me, then I get all upset, all out of order. But when I'm born, I think, wow, this is great. Everything is great. Every time I have a new experience, I say, wow, this is great. And then I have this experience, and then I'm born into life. I'm born into a wonderful new world of ideas, of contacts, of contests, of experiences that are just really wonderful. So, every moment of my life, every single moment of my life seems to be a new and wonderful, exciting experience. And the grass is always greener over there. I'm always reaching through the fence. I'm always reaching beyond the limits where I constrain myself. And I constrain myself inside of a body. Yes, I do. And the body is quite nicely built, quite nicely organized. And the body enjoys something. Oh, yes, an ice cream. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And the body says, hey, have some more, some more, some more, some more, some more. And then sort of an inner urge of us says, that's enough. I'm so full. I can't eat any more. Oh, I am just all filled up to the brim. Now, you see, that's an inner awareness within us, an inner guidance within us that says, hold it, hold it. You've had enough. You've had enough. Like animals, they gorge themselves on food because they're never sure of where the next meal is going to come from. And so they get very, very fat, and then they get slim, and then they get fat, and then they get slim. They have this wake-up program that goes on inside of them, and they're accustomed to it. But when an animal is in a civilized situation where the animal is fed food on a regular basis, it develops a new habit pattern. It develops a new way of doing things. And when an animal is in a fenced-in area, it's always looking to get out of that fenced-in area to have new adventures, to go over there and see what's going on over there. Now, the animal likes to take care of its cage, likes to take care of its own habitat. It likes to keep it clean, likes to keep it orderly, likes to keep everything in divine order. And as it does this, it sort of becomes accustomed to its living environment. And as it becomes accustomed to its living environment, it's content. Only when it broadcasts to itself things over on the other side of the fence, when it broadcasts to itself through its eyes what's going on in the world out there, through its ears what sounds it hears over there, through its nose what scents it has over there, and then it wants to go and investigate. Now, the investigation doesn't always lead to a beneficial thing, because sometimes they get out of their fenced-in area where they are taken care of, and then they are lost. And then they wander around in the world, not knowing how to get back where they had a nice situation and how to get their next meal or how to have a friendly arrangement of any kind. The grass is always greener over there for all of us. All of our life, the grass seems to be always greener. Now, do we want the grass to be greener? Do we want to live in a world where everything seems to be more desirable out there, over there? Everything seems to be more exciting over there. We have a lot of people come to the Absolute Monastery. And they come to the Absolute Monastery and say, oh, this is so beautiful here. It's so quiet. It's so peaceful. It's so loving. It's so gentle. It's so calm. It's so nice. But their nature is not peaceful, loving, and calm. Their nature is to look for excitement, to look for new roads to travel, new ways, new mountains to climb, new taste delights to tempt them, new things to experience. We all have been given a very special gift. We've been given the gift of introspection, knowing who we are inside of ourselves, and we've given the gift of extrospection, if you might say, an outward looking. We've been given the gift of the senses that we have, which bring to us the world around us and make the world around us seem something exciting, something beautiful, something fantastic. And so we're chasing after these scents all the time, reading books of other people's lives, seeing movies of other people's lives, hearing people tell us of their wonderful adventures that they have had. And then they arrive at the monastery. And arriving at the monastery, they say to themselves, oh, this is paradise. This is fantastic. And the first thing they do is to start looking around them in the monastery and see what other people are doing and saying, hey, that looks interesting. I think that try that out. Hey, that looks interesting. Hey, what you're doing looks interesting. Oh, my goodness. Meditation, yes, that's wonderful. I want to really learn to find out about meditation. Oh, yes, it's exciting to sing. It's exciting to talk. It's exciting to do other things. Oh, yes, I got to walk my own path. Oh, yes, I got to see what's going on. But these are all outward things, and they're lovely, but they're all outward things, and there's a never end to them. As you find one adventure, that leads to another. And as you find another adventure, that leads to another. And sometimes you're led back to the first adventure. And then when you're led back to the first adventure, you find a new pathway out of the first adventure to another adventure. And on you go. Oh, yes, we all do that. We all find the grass is greener somewhere else. As we at the monastery train ourselves, we train ourselves in introspection. We listen within ourselves. Now, I don't know that I have ever met anyone who had the ability to listen inside of somebody else. I know of people who can hear what other people are thinking, can know what other people are thinking, and can understand the directions that other people are going, but that's only an observation. When you have that introspection within yourself, when I listen within myself, I have the most opportunity that I could ever have to achieve magic that does not seem possible on the surface. Now, just for instance, you can have a quick experience into introspection, if you like, just by closing your eyes. Now, close your eyes and visualize yourself. Now, that's not easy to do because we always visualize it with our eyes open. But visualize yourself. Just look at yourself and say, I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to walk along the path at the monastery, along the meditation path. Now, I know that path because I've walked this path many times. And so I close my eyes and I'm mentally walking the path. Now, are there any stones on the path? Not for me. Is there any coldness or hotness or anything? Or is it just perfect, the temperature along the path? Oh, it is ideal. Is it filled with a good feeling? Is everything in divine order on the path? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Do I like walking my meditation path at the Absolute Monastery? Do I enjoy walking it introspectively? Oh, out in the physical, I like walking the path too. It's a good feeling. But introspectively, do I like to walk it? Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice because I create every single aspect of my walking that path. I create myself walking that path with happiness in my heart. I create walking the path with nothing on my mind except walking the path. I create walking the path introspectively with every beautiful thing that could ever come into my imagination. Because it's my path, it's my walk, it's my introspection. I'm having the journey. And there's no grass on the other side of the introspective journey. Because the introspective journey just goes wherever it chooses to go. And as it goes wherever it chooses to go, it experiences whatever it chooses to experience. And when it stops desiring or when it stops thinking about an experience, it immediately transfers over to another experience and doesn't think about the past experience because there's no reason for it having been there or having not been there. It can return, if you call it return. It can start that other journey over again. But always, it's in the now. Always, it's this instant. Always, it's my introspection. It's not somebody else's introspection. It's mine alone. Nobody can take me into introspection. I have to take myself there. I have to think of myself walking down the meditation path while I'm sitting here in a chair, or while I'm just standing here, or while I'm just leaning on the fence post, and close my eyes and think, yep, yeah, there's a lovely path there. There's nice temperature, nice weather. Everything is just beautiful. And you see, I am creating my world without areas where the grass is greener than I am because I am everywhere. I am content. I am fulfilled. I am rewarded. I'm living in a world of magnificence and beauty and goodness. There is no grass greener on the other side or over there. Because when I get there, Then there's another area where it's greener. And it's another area where it looks exciting. And it's another area where I want to go and investigate. Whereas in my introspection time, I can go and investigate my creations as I'm creating them, my world as I'm creating it. And I can come back from my journey of introspection. I can come back from my journey to my world, my creation, my now, and live in a now that is where I am here at the monastery. A mother, a father, children, those who make up a family, they live in the now every time they think of their family. They can think of their family, meditate on their family, introspect on their family, and be with their family in ideal situations. I'm going to bring my wife a beautiful flower. And I can just see the look on her face when I give it to her. And she says, "Oh dear, this one beautiful flower that you chose just for me and you carried all the way from the florist here is so glorious. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh." And I can feel the emotion of joy, of love, of delight in her as I give this to her introspectively. Now, I may not have a wife. I may not have a flower. I may not have a family. I may be living in the monastery. I may be living by myself. My family may be me. But introspectively, I can have the family of the world. I can live as a participant of the universe. I can be a citizen of all and delight in every aspect of it. For me, the world is wherever I am. For me, life is wherever my introspection takes me. For me, I am the creator of all. I do not need to travel the byways of life. I have done that, and I have found that fine and dandy. People are the same everywhere. No matter what nation I travel into, people are loving and kind. People are thoughtful. People love to talk about their country, their world. They love to tell about their family, and they love to tell about their opportunity, their work, their talents, their creativity. They like to be themselves. And when I'm in their environment, they don't so much say, "Where did you come from? Who are you? Where are?" They want to say, "This is where I am." They want to talk about themselves. They want to be themselves. The grass is always the greenest where they are. And they want to share that with you. Why would anyone ever want to leave Germany? Why would anyone ever want to leave Polynesia? Why would New Zealand? My goodness, what a wonderful country. What a wonderful nation. What a wonderful life. Who would ever want to leave India? Oh, when you're living in Japan and you're living in this vital community of people who all are vibrant and dynamic and alive. Wow! Well, wherever you are, it's the greenest that it can ever be. Wherever you are is that over-there-ness, because you have found delight in wherever you are. I know I have. We come to the monastery here not so much to get away from anything or to come to something, but just to enter into what everyone wants to do, their own inner peace. Now, is this different from any other area of life? Is this different from your home? Is this different from being with your family? Is this different from sitting with your dog and petting him? Is this different from anything else in life? Or is the monastery merely a reference that says, take time to meditate, take time to introspect, take time to be yourself and have fun? The outer world seems to have us chasing after movies and chasing after videos and chasing after other people's lives, reading books, chasing after the adventures that other people never even had. They write fiction, and our fiction sales are fantastic. And of course, our nonfiction sales are fantastic too, but the thing is, they're not quite as exciting as the fiction. Because in the fiction, everything turns out just the way the author wants it to. In the nonfiction, everything turns out just the way the created author wants it to be, but you don't know that. You think it is the way it is, and that's the way it is, and you cannot change it. Well, we are constantly creating the nonfiction of life. We are constantly creating our world as nonfiction. We are creating our world as, so to speak, the truth. But we create it by our thought. We create it, I think I will do this. I think I will do that. I think I will go here. I think I will go there. I think I will read this. I think I will write this. I think I will talk to this person. We always have our world created by our thought, created by everything we do. We are watering the grass of our world with our thought. We are nourishing the grass of our world, which seems so green other places, with our thought. Now, we could say that here at the monastery, it is ideal, because everybody wants the same thing. However, that's not true. Here at the monastery, it's like anywhere else in the world. People here are looking to find peace. People here are looking to find introspection. People here are looking to learn how to be generous and loving to others. People here are learning how to enjoy a life that's filled with smiles, that's filled with peace, that's filled with unconditional love. People here are looking to learn those things, and here we give outward guidance on those things. Whereas in the world, if you're naughty, you go to jail. If you're nice, you get a smile. Here, if you're naughty, you're told, are those the thoughts you want to think? And if you're nice, are those the thoughts you want to think? Oh, yes, oh, yes. Well, then keep thinking them, because the world will be whatever your thought is. And here at the monastery, we see that evidence every single hour, every single moment of the day. We see everyone living their life so beautifully, so wonderfully, so fantastically that they feel the grass is the greenest right here, right where we are. And as we see that, we don't try to get people to come to the monastery. We don't try to send people away from the monastery. We don't try to make people different here at the monastery. We just want everyone to be the highest and best, to be their finest and most wonderful, most charming, most delightful. And they do that by loving themselves, by finding the greenest grass in the entire universe, right under their feet, right where they are, right here and right now. It's a wonderful way to live. It's a wonderful way to think about life. It's a wonderful way to make things happen in your world that make you happy. But it is only something that you do for yourself. It is only something that you are making a reality in your life. But you're making a reality in your life by your thought. You're making a reality in your life by who and what you are. No one else is entering into the program at all. Only you. Only you are bringing that out. Only you are bringing it forth. Only you are smiling it into reality for you. So this day, make this claim for yourself. You're living on the greenest grass in the universe, and you can turn introspectively into yourself and know what it means to live in paradise right now. And know it with me. I love you. I love you. I love you.